Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in. Hope your day's been great so far. Well, my guest today says this. She says, we say we're free in Christ, but many of us are still living in captivity to fear, anger, shame, isolation, unforgiveness, and control. We're good at faking it around others, but we're exhausted by the ruse. So how do we break free? Well, Andy Andrew joins me today to share about her book, She is Free, Learning the Truth About the Lies That Hold You Captive. And as you notice, she is in the title, but I know we have as many men listening as women. But you know this, if you listen often enough, we have a lot of guys on the show, and we have gals on the show, and always there's content for both guys and gals. So you hang with me, because God wants us all free. It's for freedom that he set us free. And I told Andy before the show, as I'm reading her book and even her style and her heart, she is my sister from another mother, because she's got that fighting language about contending for the things God has for us, not cowering in fear, rising up in faith. You're going to love her. I know it. A couple quick announcements before we get Andy on. As I mentioned yesterday, this probably may be the last day I mentioned this, but maybe not. But kind of, you're not going to hear much about it more in February, but we're doing the Live Free Challenge in February. We've been promoting it in January, so you won't hear spots on the radio about it anymore, but there's still time to sign up, and I really am praying that you will. What is the Live Free Challenge? Well, this is something we did last year. We partnered with International Justice Mission and Venture to raise money to help put an end to human trafficking. Last year, we raised $50,000. This year, we have a lofty goal of $63,000, but we need your help. We're a little bit behind on signups, and it's super easy to do. All you have to do is hop on the website, livefreechallenge.org, and then make a goal for how many miles you want to walk, bike, or run. Now, this isn't for athletes only. You can go to the mall and put on miles. And I want you to make it doable. And you can't really fail at it. Set a goal and then ask your friends if they would support you. And if you're not comfortable asking friends to support you, set a financial amount that you feel like you can do, so that you're walking, you're praying for justice, and you're sowing some seeds for the least of these, for the voiceless who have nobody to stand up for them. I mean, what if 100 of you today signed up, you would get us back on track again. So hop on livefreechallenge.org. And also, don't forget our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. It is epic. It's amazing. It happens this summer. We're talking about it now because if you want a one-on-one appointment with an editor, agent, or expert in the field, now's when you want to sign up so you can grab that appointment. NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Andy Andrews, co-founder and co-pastor with her husband, Paul, of Liberty Church with four locations in New York City. I got to visit sometime. In 2015, she launched the She Is Free Conference in order to help women find freedom, strength, and wholeness in spirit, soul, and body. Frequent speaker all over the world, she and her husband, Paul, have four children. They live in Brooklyn. Honored to have her with us today. Dear Andy, so nice to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we love to start every day talking scripture, Andy. I'm wondering if you either have a life verse or just one you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us.
Oh, so many. Well, the one that I always come back to would definitely be an anchor for me, which is Psalm 91. Because when I went through a really dark and hard season, that was the promise that God gave to me. He said, hey, I need you to see who I am and see who I am clearly and how I fight for you and cover you when you remain in my presence. And so very much an anchor for me that I go back to whenever I feel like I'm kind of like swaying back and forth. And recently I've been reading the book of Revelation, which is crazy, but the letters to the seven churches have really been convicting me lately as we lead people in church and just, you know, going, how do these letters speak to us today? So those would be the two that would be there for me.
Fantastic. 91 is a go-to passage for me as well. Just absolutely love that. If you don't mind, as much as you're comfortable sharing, talk about that. Give us a little backstory on some of the battlegrounds that you've walked on and how God has met you there.
Yeah. I love that we can kind of all relate in this way, that we've all been on different battlegrounds. So I think that's what brings humanity together, and that we have a God that is with us and for us. But, you know, there have been multiple battlegrounds, and there's the major ones that we contend for. And I think, you know, from the time that I was young, I grew up in a very controlling cult-like, really, church environment, and kind of rejected God from a young age. Had abuse when I was younger, and then I just encountered God at a young age, and when I was 19, and when I met him, everything changed, except for the fact that I realized I had believed so many lies as I was growing up that this was my battleground. And so I think for me, what ended up taking place was that I had to fight for who I truly was and fight for my identity. And you know, for me, I think one of the biggest poignant times for me was when I had three kids under the age of three. And, you know, because you have three sons, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, very good. Yes. And they were 18 and 22 months apart. So it is a blur back, you know, in those days. Bless your heart.
Yeah. But have you ever heard the saying, though, you know, marriage shows you how selfish you are and having children shows you how angry you are?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
So I think when I realized there was just a poignant turning point for me was when I had those three kids, and just realized that all of the pain of my upbringing and the pain of my past kind of all came flooding up in front of me, like I was drowning in it. And as well, we were walking through a personally very trying and hard season. So that's where I really started to fight in a new way. The warrior in me had to come out and go, okay, God, who do you say that I am? Who are you? And I have, you know, read the word of God for the past, you know, 10 years after I'd gotten saved and had all these kids. But I'm like, how do I actually wrap myself in this and walk in it? And so that's why even, I know I'm going back to it, but Psalm 91 became so poignant for me as I realized I was trying to fill these unmet needs, because we all have unmet needs, right? Mm-hmm. And often we're trying to fill them with multiple things. And I realized the only place where those unmet needs can truly be filled is in the presence of God, the one who's going to fight for me and war for me when I am too tired and limping around and can't do it. And so, I don't know, that probably was too broad spectrum.
No, that's fantastic.
For you.
No.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. You know, I notice so in my own life and the women that I speak to around the country as well, that the perfect storm happens, I believe, when God knows we're ready to contend for the promise. Do you know what I mean? It seems like all hell is breaking loose. It seems like the enemy has all of his limits have been taken from him, but it's not true. And it's something how God allows the storm, because it is time for us to see those lies uprooted so we can stand in the truth. You know, I just love him for that he, you know, you get to the other side and you go, you saw this the whole time. You were not worried.
Yeah.
And now I'm better for the battle, you know? Well,
it's like he's looking you in the eyes going, I see you, and you can do this now.
So good. Well, you open the book with a great line. You've heard it said that what you don't know can't hurt you, but what I didn't know was destroying me. That's a great opening line, and it's talk about that. It's just how God met you in that place.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was for me what it was, is I think what happened is I like I told you, I walked into a service and they were singing the song I Could Sing of Your Love Forever, and I had never encountered love like that before. So when I met Jesus, like I said, I really met him, but then what happened? How did I become this performer, right? And I think there was a part of me, what I realized is that I didn't have to perform for love, that I could live from love. And that was what I didn't know for some reason. I don't know why that was never taught to me, because not that there's anything wrong with serving or building the church. Well, I'm a pastor, so I've got teams of people that I do life with. But at the same time, if I wasn't a daughter first, you know, when we don't realize that we're sons and daughters and that literally we're created to be loved by God, like he is love. Therefore, he creates us to lavish his love on us. And from that place of love is where we live from. And really at the core of this book is kind of the breaking and dismantling of the lies that I needed to perform or protect myself or, you know, and I still have to do that. Even this last week, man, I was sitting in a chair with a counselor, breaking stuff down, going, oh my gosh, how have I not seen that?
Good for you, Andy.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. You're not alone. I just want to say, you're speaking for millions. It's just that you have the guts to say it. But everybody, I think it's true. Everybody has a measure of being saved but not being free, being saved but not really knowing his love, you know?
Yeah.
When we wrestle this thing, though, through, freedom does happen. That's why I love the title, She is Free. Here's another one before we go to this first break. Our spiritual freedom is found as we learn the truth about the lies that have held us captive. I like that. So talk about, what's the truth about the lies?
Okay, well, and I think that was it was the most simple thing that someone ever taught me, and it was the most profound thing. Was, you know, with our pain or abusive situations or whatever we've gone through, it's like a pair of glasses and they're scratched up or they're dirty or smudged. And we wear them when we view life through this. So pretend they're lie glasses. Like there's just lies that we have believed. And what happens is we don't know. Like when you're a 3-year-old and you're being abused, you don't know that the enemy is whispering a lie that no one was here for you, no one's protecting you. Mm-hmm. You don't realize that's a lie, but you're like, what you do is you come into agreement with a lie. And I, as a young girl, came into agreement with a lie that no one would protect me, so I would protect myself. And anger became a protector, and control became a protector. And so what happens is when you finally realize, you unravel and you go, this lie I came into partnership with way back there, and it grew into my reality. Mm-hmm. It becomes the way you view the world. And when you dismantle that and go, oh, okay, God, thank you for revealing that lie. Now tell me the truth. Tell me the truth about your nature and who you are and what your word says. And now I choose to come into alignment with the truth, and that lie no longer has the authority to hold me captive. And so that is like, it's a dismantling that we're constantly doing and realizing, oh, I believed a lie here. I'm viewing the world wrong here. I'm seeing things unclearly here. God, what lie have I believed? And so that for me has been, oh my gosh, it's been life-changing for how I'm continually set free.
I love that you have the honesty and the integrity to do this, Andy, because I wonder how many leaders are in a position, you know, they're walking with deep, deep wounds that they think, I can't reveal these because I'm a leader. And yet you are 100% right. We all are works in progress until we see him face to face. And I imagine the kind of leader God's making you to be because you're willing to go there, which gives permission for everybody else to go there. Talking to Andy Andrew, beautiful book, She is Free, Learning the Truth About the Lies That Hold You Captive. Lisa Bevere, Christine Kane, Rebecca Lyons, Nancy Elkhorn, Darlene Check, all endorse this as they should. It's fantastic. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. That's livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put free in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address, and we'll be back in a minute. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Andy Andrew. She's a pastor. She and her husband founded the Liberty Church in New York, several campuses, actually expanding out around the world now. She's written a great book titled She is Free, Learning the Truth About the Lies That Hold You Captive. And you talk about the necessity of feeling our pain before we can heal from that same pain. Say more if you would, Andy.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the most frightening part, to be honest, because, like, who wants to do that?
Right, exactly.
No one. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes what we have to do is realize that when that pain was inflicted on us, often what we have done is we put in a self-protective mechanism, and then it never heals completely. So what you do is to feel the pain. It doesn't mean that you're morbid and sadistic and going there just to feel the pain. You do that in the presence of God with the healer. So once again, he can replace the maybe lies that you believed when that pain, or it can be as simple as rejection. Maybe you're like, I'm always rejected because I go into this church or this pastor or this friend or my dad left me or whatever. And you're like, look, there's the string. It's true. I'm rejected. Sometimes we have to go back. Okay, when's the first time I felt that? And gosh, that hurts, God. Okay, Holy Spirit, can you just speak to me about where you were and how you are with me? And what's the truth? Am I rejected? And then you'll find, of course not. Like, you're not rejected by the one who made you. You're a son, you're a daughter. And often we're walking around as orphans, believing all these lies. And when we go and face the pain with the one who has not orphaned us or abandoned us, there's healing there. And it's not easy, but it's worth it.
Yeah, so worth it. And, you know, it's not easy to fake it either. I mean, I think we feel like it's easier, but it costs us so much to ignore and not be willing to deal with this stuff. And you talk about a time in your life, and you maybe have touched on it already, but I'd love for you to expound on it when it's like the dam broke for you. I think your kids were young. I don't know, remember if this was around anger or what this was, but God really met you in that place.
He rocked me. Yeah, that was kind of, you know, when you have those, you don't always have the tangible, like, whoa, this is a holy moment. This was one of those holy moments, and it came out of the most, you know, unsuspecting of times. It was, you know, I had, the three kids under the age of three and beautiful kids. But my daughter, I remember that morning, it was like the shades were drawn. It was dark in the room. I had been dealing with postpartum depression and overall depression. So it was like a mix of the two, you know, concoction of hormones and the reality of just being depressed on and off for my whole life up until that point. And I remember laying in bed and my daughter started to cry. She was time to feed her, but I couldn't get out of bed. My husband had already left for work. And I just remember I couldn't even swing my feet. I didn't have the energy to like swing my feet over the bed and get up. I rolled over onto the floor and face first and just started sobbing. And, you know, just saying, feeling very alone, I think, because it was like, if I told people how I was really doing it, you know, everyone thinks I'm really funny or bubbly or this or that. And I'm like, if you knew what I was like right now, you probably wouldn't be my friend. You'd reject me. And I just remember saying to God, I don't have anybody but you. I don't have anybody but you, almost like a victim. Like that wasn't enough. And it was amazing. It was like a tangible presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit came into my room. It was like the wings of the Father came around me in this fierce nature. And Jesus was on his knees next to me, weeping with me. And the Holy Spirit was like this warm blanket wrapped around me. And it was like the Spirit of God, almost in a fury against the way the enemy had come against me, said, that's right. I am all that you need. And the I am is your healer. It was like, I was like, oh my gosh. And it was kind of, that was a big moment for me where, you know, my daughter needed me, but this daughter needed to be healed. Yeah. And that was kind of that pivotal moment for me where I went, why have I been avoiding this space? Why have I been keeping myself busy and not sitting in the presence of God and going, oh, it's okay, I can fall apart here and you've got me. So that was a very pivotal moment.
Thank you for sharing that, because I just think, again, when we get to that place of misery, we take so many options before we'll go to the floor, basically. And
we do.
You know, and I love that the Lord met you in such a tangible way, such a gracious way. And, you know, it's interesting how, because we're so afraid to feel those feelings, we think they'll swallow us whole. And if we could believe with all of our heart, they actually won't, that Jesus is so with us. I really believe God gives us plenty of opportunities to face some of those lies. And you say the longer we remain in agreement with the lies sown into our hearts, the stronger they become. And then they distort our reality because we're looking through a broken lens at the world. Maybe speak to that person today who realizes God's given them lots of exit ramps to go, okay, let's pause and deal. And they've put the pedal to the metal. But you know, the idea that the longer we remain in agreement, the stronger that root system kind of becomes in our soil.
Yeah, it really does. And I think that's the thing. It's like, what's your vice? I mean, speaking to the heart of the person where, God maybe has given you off ramps to come and sit with him or be with him or face things. The reality is the longer you keep driving down this road, God has deliverance for you. There's this amazing and very simple revelation we all need to get in some way, shape, or form. We all got 100% of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and Father God when we gave our lives to him. We didn't get 50%. Our neighbor didn't get more than we got. We have the fullness of the Godhead. We have access to everything, yet we go everywhere else. And I think if I could say anything to those that are listening today, you know, you'll probably start to notice that control. You have to control everything. You have to control your outcomes, the people around you. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's isolation. You've isolated yourself from community, from other people, because you're afraid that they might see the real you, or that they might confront you, or, you know, make you mad, and they'll see the real you, and the real you's a little messy right now. I would just say to you, give yourself some grace here, and step into whatever you are being prompted with. It's interesting. Some of you will notice that the Holy Spirit's been saying the same thing maybe for years. It could be, hey, why don't you go and meet with this person and be honest with them about where you're at, but you're scared out of your mind that they'll reject you. Or maybe it's, hey, there's a counselor you've heard of like 10 times because a few of your friends have gone to see it, but you're ignoring that like it doesn't exist. Mm. Or maybe for you, it's getting up 10 minutes earlier, turning on some worship and being alone and allowing God to fill those needs that you're going everywhere else to have these unmet needs fulfilled. So I would just say to you, don't ignore it anymore. Don't be afraid of the uprooting system. What's amazing is think about a weed, when it's pulled out of the soil, even if it has tons of roots, the soil's tender. And so your heart will become in this beautiful, tender place where God can replant the right things. And so just do it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're standing here as people that God has redeemed and set free on so many levels, and saying this stuff is true, and we can trust him. So, Andy, we've got about a minute and a half to our hard break at the bottom, and okay. If you need to take this answer to the other side, but you can maybe give us a start. But you as you say, you know, the longer we remain in agreement, the lies sown into our hearts get stronger. How does a lie get sown into our hearts? Explain that idea.
Yeah, I think it is. Like, if you can, for a moment, I know we've got a minute here, so just think with me, and maybe you just need to do this even as you're listening, is go, when is a time, maybe you were young, maybe it was when your dad walked out, or you were in an abusive situation, or you were rejected by a pastor, or you had a leadership breakdown, or whatever that is, what thought processes came into your mind? See, a lie can come in a thought process that the enemy implants that has no alignment with the word of God or how God would speak to us. So even Jesus, when he was in the desert and being tempted those 40 days, is that he, you know, even the enemy used the word of God and twisted it to speak to Jesus. Jesus is like, no, that's not how my Father speaks, and we don't put him to the test. So in a way, the way a lie comes in is very sly. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you're 3 or if you're 25 or 45 or 85, the enemy will come in, just plant a small seed. And if you meditate on it for too long, then what it does is it drops down into your heart, and then it begins to come out of your mouth, and then it has a belief. You put in a belief system, a root system, where a lie has taken root. And at any time, we can uproot those. But does that help
explain? That's
I don't want
perfect.
To take too much time.
No, Andy, that's absolutely perfect. Talking to Andy Andrew, love this girl. Title of her book, She Is Free, Learning the Truth About the Lies That Hold You Captive. And guys, this book is for you, too. You can just tear the cover off if you don't want people seeing you read She Is Free. Lots of good fighting material about standing in faith, freedom from fear, really dealing with the anger that's brewing under the surface. God wants you free. Email if you want in on the drawing, livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put freedom or free in the subject line. Remember the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in today. Susie Larson here. This is With the Promise. Talking to Andy Andrew, who's written a great book titled She Is Free, Learning the Truth About the Lies That Hold You Captive. And I believe this with all my heart that, well, Scripture says that we are meant to go from strength to strength, glory to glory, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. And it's just my belief that God wants to set the plow deeper as we grow deeper in Him, because He wants new levels of freedom, new levels of fruitfulness. Jesus said, you know, it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. And that requires some pruning and some digging and some weeding and some water and some sunshine. And it's a beautiful thing. So, Andy, I'd love for you to say more about maybe practical steps for the person listening today going, how do I get from here to there? I mean, I look at you, I hear your story. What are some next steps I can take to walk towards my freedom?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because you can feel like, oh, great, you wrote that book. But I can tell you right now, like, I'm still on this journey. And mm-hmm. aren't we all?
Yeah.
I've heard it said, you know, following Jesus is a long obedience in the same direction. And as we do, as we walk with him, he just continues to peel back the layers of freedom in our lives. And like you kind of said at the very beginning of this interview, it's like he knows when we're ready for the next thing. And he knows when we're ready to confront and face something. So, you know, as for practical steps, I would say, number one, if something starts to come up in your life and it kind of starts to be a theme, like, hey, I keep getting angry all the time, and I'm not usually an angry person. Anger is a secondary emotion. So what you need to do is go, okay, so anger is telling me something. Why? What is that? And mm-hmm. why am I furious all the time? What unmet needs do I have? God, where do I need to let you fill me up? You know, it's little things like that, like just paying attention. If you keep finding yourselves where you maybe have social anxiety, where you refuse to, you're like, I don't want to go to that party. I don't want to go to that wedding. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to show up and be around people. Why is that? So it's just as you continue to walk out your whole life with God, is pay attention to what your heart, your pain, your circumstances, everything going around you is telling you. What is the fruit? And if it's good fruit, great, pay attention to that. But if it's fruit that you're like, I don't want that fruit, God, I'm going to let you prune me, like you were just talking about, so that I can bear more fruit of the right fruit. So practically for me, I kind of addressed it already, but I know for me, dealing with lies is a major thing that we can do all the time. Yeah. And you can do that in your quiet time. So it's like I was saying, it's like going back to, hey, where did I first believe that lie? Okay, God, what do you want to give to me in exchange for that lie that I've believed? And you will be amazed at how God will speak to you and give you the truth. I would just say practically write these things down so that you can go back to it. Because a lot of times we hear something and we forget. Write them down and go back to the truth of what he said. If you have a scripture that is a solid foundation for you, then write that down and put it somewhere. What are the promises that you need to contend for or step into or wrap yourself in? And I just think all I would say to you is don't give up. Like, I'm amazed that I released a book called She Is Free, and I'm writing a second one right now. And it's like, when you write about this stuff, it's like you have to fight it too. Yep. You have to make sure that you're living it. can't just. So I keep this book, I would say it's more of it's one of those ones you want on your shelf, and then you can read it through, but then leave it there and then use it as a text to come back to go, oh gosh, I'm there again. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
And just keep walking it out, you know?
Amen, sister. Amen. So you've got a section in the book titled Your Heart, Your Responsibility. Say more about that idea. Love that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think that, okay, I'm just going to say it, and this is a horrible thing none of us want to be associated with, but, you know, the victim mentality,
yeah,
right?
You're right.
Man, and we've all been there. None mm-hmm. of us want to, I'm not a victim, you know, or anything like that. But if you ever find yourself in a place where you start blaming everyone for why you are how you are, see, here's the deal. There are situations that have happened to all of us, like horrific things when we were younger, horrific things last week. But the thing that is amazing is our heart is still our responsibility. So there comes this point where you have all of these different things that have protected you over the years, but those things were put in place so that you could survive. Literally, it's like, how amazing is it that God creates us, that when we're young or we go through something, there are certain things that our body does to protect us. But then there comes a point where it's like, okay, I can't function like this anymore. And I remember when I was offended and angry about something, the Holy Spirit just sometimes gives me a little like, hey, listen up. And the Holy Spirit said, your heart is your responsibility. You choose to be offended. And I was like, whoa. And so I had this realization. I thought, you know, offense was a spiritual gift. And then I realized not. I need to deal with that. And that's really hard, because some people are listening right now and they're like trying to turn off the radio because they're mad. They're like, no, someone else needs to fix this for me. But really, I have just this holy knowing that when I breathe my last breath, even though other people use their free will maybe to harm me, my heart was always my responsibility. Mm. And when Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7, and then he tells the story of the unmerciful servant, which is such a harsh story,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh. So we're kind of imprisoned when we walk in unforgiveness, and our hearts grow hard. And you know what? Forgiveness, you may not, you probably never feel like forgiving people. So let's just be honest about that too. It's not like today I feel like forgiving. You're like, you know what? I'm going to choose to engage forgiveness. It's a heavenly transaction. It is, you know, debt paid in full. And Jesus, you paid that debt for me. So I'm going to exercise this as an act of my free will and believe that you're going to heal my heart, even though I feel nothing right
so
now.
So good. And
I
love that.
So
indeed. And it's so connected to freedom. I mean, there is no freedom. It's its own captivity, isn't it? You might be getting free financially. You might be getting free in other ways. But if you're harboring unforgiveness, you're still a captive, right?
Yeah. Harboring. I just got that picture. You're like in a harbor of unforgiveness. Like literally you're stuck in there. You can't go out into the open ocean.
Yeah. Good word.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, you also talk about how our pain can be our platform. So cast a vision for someone who feels maybe identified and defined by their pain. And maybe this happens too, and I know it well. We all do this, where we get used to the pain and the victimization or whatever it is, because you get, as you say, you know, you get sympathy and compassion, but that we can take that and turn it into identity. But there is a time to shake off the grave clothes and go, I'm not defined by this. But that transaction has to happen. So talk about how you move from that pain defining you in a negative way to it becoming something that undergirds you so you can shout Jesus' name to the world.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember my husband and I were going through ARC training to plant our church, and one of the leaders, it was kind of like the commissioning day after we'd gone through all the training. And I mean, he didn't really know much of our story, but he just laid hands on us and started to pray and prophesy over us. And he said, your pain will be your platform. And we both just started weeping, because only God knows the depths of what you've walked through.
That's right.
You know, you share some of the story. But that brought hope to us in the craziest of ways, realizing that what we have walked through and how Jesus met us in that and healed us and set us free and released us and, you know, took away our captivity and, you know, got the slave mindset out of us, if you will, that we would be able to open that door for other people. I think sometimes what we do is when we go into the introspective spiral of healing or pain or all of those things, that's why there's a real balance here. We got to face our pain, but we face it with Jesus. We don't stay here. But when you realize there are other people on the other side of your pain where you can open a door and go, look, I walked through this. It was not easy, but it becomes this beautiful platform to which you will meet somebody one day, and because you're not a victim anymore, you can open a door for them. You can go, you can do this. There is freedom for you, and you don't have to stay here. It's actually possible. Mm-hmm. And that's, I guess, the biggest thing I want to say is, like, you may be listening right now and so frustrated going, you don't understand my story. And you're right, I don't. But there is someone who does, and someone who's willing to walk it through with you. And that pain that you've walked through can be healed and then become something that you can give that away to other people.
So inspiring, yeah. Andy. Appreciate that so much. So in the book where you talk about lies that keep us bound, you talk about the issue of fear. And we tend to believe this lie, whether we say it out loud or not, but that fear has permission to rob me of my vision and my destiny. Love, if you don't mind, from your own life, how did fear manifest itself in your life? And then how did you face that giant down?
Yeah, it's so interesting because I feel like they're almost always all interconnected, aren't they?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that fear whispered to me that kept me from, it was almost like, don't write a book, don't get out there, don't start a church, don't tell this story, don't, because if you do, people will reject you. You will walk in shame if you tell this story. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, that's true. I shouldn't do this. And in a way, fear for years, I mean, that's a long story, but like I was riddled with fear to the point of severe anxiety where I broke out in shingles and I had, you know, it physically manifested in my body because I just had so much fear around telling my story or the things that I'd walked through or whatever, and thinking that I'd be rejected. So I think for me, that was a massive one. And I did let it rob me of my destiny and my calling and my purpose to an extent where I was, fear caused me to hide, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And so I went, not that it's about writing books or speaking or any of that stuff. All of us have God has placed us in positions and places and workplaces and families, a sphere of influence, if you like, where we are meant to bring the kingdom of heaven where we are. And fear will rob us from releasing that. We have to let the kingdom of heaven come to us before it can move through us. And so fear will stop you from even allowing that to happen. So that for me was massive.
And how did you do that, Andy? Because fear is a big thing for so many people. I'd love to know again, I'm sure you raised your shield and sword and said, this far, no more. But tell me more about that.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about fear, and I kind of speak to this, is that it's like a custom-made tool that the enemy uses, because he knows where to hit us with shame, and he knows where to hit us with fear. Nobody else knows, but he does. So it will come in at this little custom-made package. But what happens with fear is it causes us to go into self-preservation mode. Mm-hmm. We begin to self-preserve instead of lay down our lives and be resurrected with Christ and allow his life to drive us. So I think for me, what I realized is when I start self-preserving, if you think about, go back to the Garden of Eden, what took place there is that the enemy got them, they bought into a lie. They believed the lie that, you know, they could be more powerful or whatever it was. And then they started to self-preserve and look to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and to themselves for answers instead of walking with God. And that's really what happens, like, when we go into self-preservation mode, is we look to ourselves, or we preserve ourselves instead of looking to God to preserve us and heal us and free us. So, yeah, but I think that's something we've all got to look at. Like, why am I allowing fear to knock on the door of my heart? Why am I allowing fear to stop me from stepping into all that I have? Why am I allowing the fear of man and what they'll think about me, whether they'll praise me or hate me, stop me from doing what I'm called to do? Because you know what? Not everybody's going to love you, and that's okay.
Amen. Totally is okay.
Yeah.
And they still can't stop you from all God has for you, so that's good news. Talking to Andy Andrew today, title of her book is She Is Free. When we come back, we're going to talk about shame, because one of the lies we believe about shame is that we're going to live with it for the rest of our lives, and that the ugly things hidden protects us and keeps us safe from public opinion and rejection. How do you really break free from the fear of man so you can start to dream again and believe God has great things for you? Talking to Andy Andrew, if you want in on the book drawing, just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Andy Andrews. She's written a great book titled She Is Free, Learning the Truth About the Lies That Hold You Captive. And if you just hopped in the car, you just tuned in, this is one you want to go back and catch the whole show. We put it up in podcast form not very much, I would say, minutes after the live show. Okay, within an hour. But our producers are pretty amazing. So that podcast will be up within an hour after the live show. Be a radio missionary. With a click of a button, you can send it out to friends by Facebook, email, or Twitter. If you know someone who's wrestling with their own captivity, wanting to be free, this is a good conversation to share. And Andy, we're looking in your book at lies that hold us captive. And you talk a bit about shame, and the undercurrent or the underlying lie is that I will live with this shame for the rest of my life, keeping the ugly things hidden, protects me and keeps me safe from public opinion and rejection. What is the cost of that core belief system?
A lot.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because it's attached to fear as well. Fear and shame usually go hand in hand, and it causes us to hide once again our true selves. And it causes us to not really step into our true identity, because we don't really even know what that is, because shame has defined us for so long. So shame comes obviously in many forms. And I think what I had to get to was a place where I have nothing to prove and I have nothing to hide, because the truth is that God takes me as I am. But the journey from here to there has been hard, and shame still tries to come and like cover you like it's a big wet blanket, you know, and go, no, you got to wear this. And it's like, I am not going to put shame back on, because Christ has come to cover all of that. And so, I mean, I want to give you just a couple of points from the journey. It was, I think, you know, one very clear moment of deliverance for me from shame was after we'd started pastoring the church. And you know, we were leading, and I was still walking through a lot of process. I thought it was interesting that God had us name the church Liberty, mm-hmm. like freedom. And then I was really, it's just a process I think we really believe in. So we walk this out a lot. It's a big thing of what we do, wholeness and freedom in our church. And so anyway, I was pastoring and just riddled with shame from things from my past, from our past, and just going, God, how do I lead when I feel like this darkness all around me? So I just remember I left, I came and hung out with my sister and went to just a women's gathering with her. And you know the song, He Loves Us?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, they were singing that song, and it was an altar call for forgiveness. Unforgiveness. I was like, well, I don't have any unforgiveness. But you know that nudge, that holy nudge, like go forward anyway. And I had one of those embarrassing moments where I fell to the ground and started sobbing hysterically in front of God and everyone. And as it was sung over me, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. It was that same picture again that I spoke about at the beginning of us chatting, where it was like, I felt so naked, but His wings came and just covered me and went, This is how you live. Live vulnerable, live honest, and I have you covered. You have nothing to prove with me, nothing to hide to me, and nobody can take from you what I have given to you, and no one can give to you anything that I can't give to you. And I was like, what? So I think when we get to that point where we really start to live, like when we start to feel shame creep in, we're like, no, okay, I need to come back over here. I need, vulnerability is really key here.
Yeah.
And whether that's with somebody or just with God, but you know what? There are people in your world that are not going to reject you. I've had people scared out of their minds to tell me their deepest, darkest secrets. And the best thing you can do is just pull someone in and go, man, I love you. Thank you for being so brave and telling us that. But that's what our God does with us. And there's going to be people in your world. I want to encourage somebody or multiple people out there. God will send you people in your world that will blow your mind and show you who He is. And they're not going to be afraid of your mess.
So true.
There you go.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And may we be those kinds of people, because I think, yes. You know, when we pull our head back and kind of look down our nose a bit, it's because we're so far out of touch with our own healing process. You know what I mean? We've fossilized to some degree that, you know, our hearts, we're not feeling our hearts beat in our chest, because we all so desperately need that intimate touch and that intimate walk. And when you rise up from that place where you go, you know what? You have delivered me from my shame. You will continue to. Then I think courage kicks in, doesn't it? I mean, when I'm listening to you, some of the things you've stepped out in the face of your fears, and I'm thinking of Nehemiah and the dudes that were constantly trying to get him down. He's like, I am not coming down. I'm not listening to you. We need that kind of a feisty faith, don't we, to be able to pursue the things God has.
Totally. Mm. Yeah, 100%. I am in complete agreement with you. It's almost like when you step out that little bit of like fierceness that you have, it's almost like God adds to it.
Amen.
Even when you're afraid out of your mind to step out.
Love that. Yeah. Well, there was another point in your journey when the Lord spoke to your heart and had said that for so long you've been serving the God of just enough, and that He affirmed that He indeed is the God of more than enough. And talk about just that moment and even the paradigm shift that took place for you.
Yeah, I think we settle for breadcrumbs a lot when we, and you know what, God is willing to give us breadcrumbs that lead us to a table that where we feast with Him.
Yeah.
But for me, we had this beautiful day, and we went to Italy for my husband's 40th, and we started in Rome, and on our last day in Rome, we went to Paul's prison, where he was in prison and wrote many of the epistles, and it was one of the most life-changing experiences, being in that dank little, you know, 10-foot by 10-foot prison cell where he just passionately wrote these letters. And we started the day out in a prison, and then we went on this long journey to get to Anna Capri, and we stayed in this hotel. When we got to the top, the hotel was called The Palace. So we started the day in a prison and ended the day in a hotel called The Palace.
Wow.
And this interesting thing, God used this analogy with me to really teach me something and confront the orphan spirit in me that stopped me from being a daughter. And when we got there, we had bought the cheapest room because that's what we could afford. And we got to check in, the lady said, hey, we have an upgrade for you. And I'm like, do we have to pay for it? Like, you know what I mean? She's like, no, we walk in. And this room was bigger than our New York apartment. I mean, it was breathtaking with a view of the Italian sunset. And And I just remember I fell onto the bed and started to weep. And my husband's like, I don't know what's wrong with you. This is like the most amazing thing. But I felt like I didn't belong. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like I felt like I don't belong here. Let's go back to the prison. I feel a little bit more holy there. And like I belong in a prison. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, hey, Andy, I can take you from a prison to a palace if you'll just go on the journey with me. And I'm like, what? And I realized that I had been settling for breadcrumbs when my father has a feast for me. And if you think about family dinner and the table is a place where you realize that you belong, where you are. And as you commune together over food and conversation, you realize you're a part of the family. And we're adopted. Once again, the basis of all this, we're sons, we're daughters. When we live from that place as loved kids, it changes everything. And so for me, that was so poignant. I will never forget that. And it's caused me to continue to go on a journey. Anytime like I feel more comfortable in a prison, I'm like, ooh, okay, I need to shake it up and I need to go sit at my father's table at the palace and go, why do I feel comfortable in that prison?
Okay.
So that's been a huge revelation for me.
Love that story. And here again was where you're talking my language. You said there's always more ground to take. And once the ground's taken, it's time to pour it out and give it away to others so that they may attain the measure of freedom that God has stored up for them as well. And we've probably got 2 minutes before we pray here. But I'd love for you to cast a vision for that person, because the enemy wants us to isolate and nurse our wounds.
Yep.
Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you to freedom so that you can be a conduit to freedom for others. So cast that vision if you would.
Yeah, I think this is the beautiful tension of our Christianity and our following of Jesus is he so desperately wants us to step into our inheritance and the freedom and the fullness of who he is. He can heal your body. He can heal your mind. He can heal you. Yes, we live in this fallen world, but he has come to release the kingdom of heaven within you. And I want to speak to you and say it can be done. He can bring freedom in these areas of your life where you feel like there is no way. He's looking at you going, that's my favorite place. Because where it seems impossible, I love to come in and show you how it is possible with me. But then what you start to realize is you're like, it's pretty selfish to keep this to myself. Because what we can do, like I said earlier, is we become these navel-gazing Christians that are always looking for wholeness for us. And we forget that it is about the community and the family of believers and those that are not yet home, those that don't yet know Jesus. Man, when we're tasting and seeing how good this is, why would we keep this to ourselves? Mm-hmm. And so one of the main things that I always say is we are free to bring freedom to others, to set others free. We're free to set others free. So my prayer is that you get radically set free, but then you just go, I can't keep this to myself, because we don't want to be like cesspools or dams. We want to be rivers and bring the river of living water that lives within us to a lost and dying world that needs a drink of the real thing. So,
Andy, fantastic. As we pray for that person, if you would, that you were just speaking to. Would you do that?
Yeah, I would. Father, I pray for the one who has been so broken for so long that they have believed the lie that they could never be free and that they're just going to limp into heaven this way. God, I ask that you would radically meet them right where they are and that they would be amazed at how you bring freedom and your love and your healing and your transformation and your power into their lives, that their families would be amazed, that their coworkers would be amazed. God, break the chains that have held them captive. Break the lies that have kept them captive and tell them the truth of who you are. God, release your power and your presence and your kingdom into their lives so that they can release the kingdom of heaven wherever they go. And I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Andy, you got to come back and visit us again. You're just, you're right in our lane, baby. We love you. Thank you so much. That was Andy Andrew, title of her book. Yay. Title of her book is She is Free. And I'd love for you to get in on the drawing. Email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com.
I was calling out to you when you said,
what a powerful show. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Hope you're having a really great day. If you can stay tuned, Hour 2 is coming up next. It's another edition of Talk to Me Thursday. We're going to have some great conversation, but you're my guest, so I hope you'll join me. Don't go away. We'll be back in a bit.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.